Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lauren Litton, host of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting Ohio's juvenile justice news. A few weeks ago, the report Realigning Juvenile Corrections in Ohio to Reinvest in What Works was released, documenting the changes that have occurred in Ohio's juvenile justice system. While reform is ongoing, the changes have been startling, especially in the past decade. It is now recognized that kids are different than adults, and responses to them must account for these differences in order to help them become productive adults, contributing to the future and well-being of our communities. In that vein, Ohio has been working to undo the legacy of a broken system created in the 80s and 90s based on flawed methodology coupled with a tough-on-crime approach. Ohio is focused on improving outcomes by moving away from the unproductive and costly practice of incarceration and purposely creating evidence-based programs that keep kids in their communities, closer to their families, and target their educational, behavioral, and mental health needs. In Ohio, there is now a standardized risk assessment used to determine placement and treatment options. More than half of the state correctional facilities have closed, and Reclaim, a state-led financial incentive program started in the 90s, has become a strategy to address disproportionate minority contact and behavioral health treatment needs of some of the most vulnerable populations facing system involvement. Joining us is Gabrielle Celeste, who authored the report. She is the Director of Child Policy at Case Western Reserve University Schubert Center for Child Studies. The Schubert Center bridges research, practice, policy, and education for the well-being of children. Gabriella helped develop a policy agenda for improvements in Ohio's juvenile justice system, and she was recently appointed to the Ohio Public Defender Commission by Governor Kasich. Welcome, Gabriella.
Hi, Lauren.
So you really have a very long history of working on juvenile justice-related issues. For example, in the late 90s, you co-founded the Juvenile Justice Project of Louisiana. So before we turn to the details of the report, what drew you to this issue, and why should everyone be paying attention to it?
Well, I think working with kids is a hopeful engagement. You know, we really can make a difference. I was working with young people long before I practiced law even, doing restorative justice, sort of diversion work in the community and working with kids in group homes. And so after law school, I actually worked in the Deep South and happened to meet a young person who was serving life without the possibility of parole in an adult facility. And he had committed the offense when he was just a teenager, and I was really struck by how much we had failed him over the years and how much more we could do to help get kids on the right track and hopefully have success. So I saw the juvenile justice system as a place to really try and have that kind of impact.
There really is so much going on in Ohio, and I provided a brief background of some of those changes. Anything you want to add at this point?
No, I think you covered a lot of territory there. I think we can just sort of move on to specific issues in the report.
Great. So the report, it focuses on a lot on the economics, and you refer to it as right-sizing the fiscal and programmatic approach. So tell us about that, and why is it significant to what's occurring in Ohio?
Well, you know, I think we've learned a lot from research and better understanding child and adolescent development about what works with young people. And a number of advocates, both here in this state and nationally, have really helped make some important advancements in better treatment of kids, keeping kids in community programs that work, closing large institutions that have shown to be ineffective, and actually create, more kinds of poor outcomes with young people. But I think it's not enough to just not to do bad things or ineffective things. And closing facilities, for example, that are ineffective, while important, doesn't necessarily get us to the point of actually investing in what works with kids. And so I think that the fiscal incentive piece is so important because it helps to actually provide the resources for communities to do things that make sense and that, you know, both research and experience tell us is going to have better outcomes.
So I mentioned something called Reclaim, and that really is a foundation to a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you can spend a minute or two and explain what that is.
Sure. So RECLAIM, or, you know, stands for Reasoned and Equitable Community and Local Alternatives to the Incarceration of Minors. Very long word. But what it really represented was a sea change in Ohio, and has really put Ohio on the map nationally in terms of innovative practice. So back in the early 90s, it's actually a kind of funding formula that created incentives for local courts to serve young people adjudicated delinquent in their own communities, rather than sending them off to state facilities, which were more expensive and not necessarily showed better outcomes. And that effort, this RECLAIM effort, has grown. So aside from all 88 counties having some kinds of programs that are funded through RECLAIM, the Department of Youth Services over the years has really continued to advance that those investments, so that it's not just about community-based investments, but investing in effective programming. So, for example, a law was passed about 10 years after the creation of RECLAIM that said those dollars should not be invested in ineffective programming, like boot camps. And then more recently, a law was passed in, I think, 2010, that really encouraged the use of RECLAIM dollars for research-supported outcome-based kinds of programming. And the budget that was passed at the same time also, for the first time, put language in there where there were savings from the correctional line, whether through closures or otherwise. A portion of those savings should be invested in evidence-based programming, like things that the department was doing. They are investing in something called the Behavioral Health Juvenile Justice Initiative, working with kids with behavioral health needs in the community, using evidence-based programming. And then later, something called Targeted RECLAIM, which really focused on these counties that were the highest placing counties for kids in state facilities. They created an incentive, a fiscal sort of incentive opportunity for those counties to get more dollars to really address the needs of those youth in their communities, and as a result have seen quite a success in reducing the numbers of young people placed in these state facilities. So over the years, this original RECLAIM has really grown, and in fact, just recently they've released now this competitive RECLAIM grants, which really seek to address the needs of kids at the front end in particular, and diverting them from deep end systems.
And in your report, there you do cite one, I don't know if it was a research program or an evaluation that showed that for every dollar spent on RECLAIM programming, instead of placing a child in a correctional facility, that the state saved on an average between $13 and $40, which was really significant.
That's right. That was a University of Cincinnati report. And in fact, there was another report by them that looked at the recidivism rates, or the reoffending rates of young people. And significantly, you know, low-risk kids served in the community were more than 2 to 4 times less likely to reoffend than similar youth put in a state correctional facility, or even a community correctional facility, or the CCF. And even moderate-risk youth who remained in the community reoffend at significantly lower rates than those put in a CCF or state facility. So these are really important, significant kinds of findings, mm-hmm. and reasons for us to make these kinds of investments.
So talking about other significant things, because all this reform didn't, you know, happen overnight or occur through a single strategy. It's been a collaborative effort. What other pieces of the puzzle do you want to highlight that made some of these changes in Ohio possible?
Well, I'll say I know the department speaks very much about the critical importance of partnership between them and the local judges and courts. And that's something they've been really working on over the years, in part through these RECLAIM efforts and other community programming, which they do really with a lot of input from local jurisdictions. But in addition to that, you know, we can't underestimate the real huge significance of the conditions litigation in our state. Back in 2004, there was a lawsuit filed, SHV Stickrath, that looked at how kids were being treated in these facilities. That was eventually settled, and there was a settlement agreement in 2008. And what among the many things that was important about the settlement agreement were a set of guiding principles that I really think have created a legacy that the department continues to embrace today. And these guiding principles talked about things like taking a youth-focused approach, really working, understanding principles of child and adolescent development, working with family, being strength-based in one's efforts, and having the least restrictive environment for kids, keeping them as close to home as possible. So now, those kinds of guiding principles, I think, have continued to inform the work that the department does with young people and their families going forward. And then the other piece certainly is some of the policy I talked about earlier, passing some state laws that help to encourage the investment in evidence-based and good programming and really seeking to move savings on the correctional line to community-based programs. Those have been important kinds of developments as well. And I think you mentioned the OYAS, or the risk instrument, but the other thing, we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that in addition to these large institutions closing, there's also been a number of these community correctional facilities. In fact, back when Reclaim was started, there weren't any, and now today there are 12 CCFs around the state of Ohio, which are smaller in size and you know, try to offer an alternative kind of secure environment for young people in the system.
Great. And for our listeners who want to read the full report, you can find it at www.schubert.case.edu. And Schubert is S-C-H-U-B-E-R-T. And in the last minute or so, what are your final thoughts, maybe other changes that you hope to see in the next few years in Ohio?
Well, I just mentioned the CCFs. I think that's been an important part of the kind of shift in the sort of blueprint, the footprint, really, of DYS in Ohio. So continuing to improve the kind of treatment and access to treatment and engagement with family through the community correctional facilities is important, as well as looking at reentry and when kids transition from a placement into their home community, how do we help ensure their success in that effort? But also the diversion piece, and I think this is why watching what happens with these competitive reclaim grants that were just released is going to be so important to helping to see where are ways that we can continue to advance going forward. I'll say in terms of some challenges that remain, you know, we still, I think, can narrow the use of these state facilities. We still have a number of nonviolent offending youth held in the state facilities. We should be looking at detention centers and how to improve the quality and, in fact, alternatives to the detention at the front end. And, you know, there are also legal issues. You know, we have sentencing, that mandatory sentencing for certain things that forces some kids into the system. Finally, I think a representation and having effective representation for young people is so critically important to both protect them and advocate for appropriate access to treatment and care going forward.
Well, thank you, Gabriella, for appearing on Quick Take Ohio, and thanks to all our listeners.
Thank you.